All right, tonight we're going to be talking about, are you equipped to serve God? And we're going to start off tonight reading John chapter 9, starting in verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And of course, this is talking about our Lord Jesus finding a man born blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it's day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." Father, as we study your word and try to prepare our hearts for service for your glory, Father, show us how to prepare ourselves. Keep us busy with your work. Young, old, in between, it doesn't matter. You've got a job for each of us to be doing every single day. Father, bless and use us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior honestly believe that the Lord saved them for works of service for his glory. Our Lord wants us to know that we could point to some Bible verses that would show that very clearly, that God didn't save you just to go to heaven. If he saved us just to go to heaven, the very second we received him as our Savior, we'd be gone to heaven. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When did God prepare the good works that he wants us to do? In advance. He already knew when he created you what he wanted you to do. And he's given you all the equipping that you need to do it. It's just that we have to take it and we have to use it. Many Christians, however, feel it's a real imposition on their time that God would ask them to sacrifice their time to serve him. Who gave you the time? God did. Who gave you the talent? God did. Who gave you the experience that you needed to be able to do the work he's called you to do? God did. And so it's not an imposition upon us. People who say, "I don't want to serve, I don't want to do anything, I just want to enjoy my life. I got Jesus as my Savior, but as far as doing any works, I just don't want to do anything. I just want to enjoy my life. I may attend a church service occasionally when it's convenient, but if it isn't convenient," I came here this morning, and as I went past the St. Charles Park, there had to be 250 cars lined up there. What do you suppose was going on in the park today? Baseball games. Baseball games are happening. I don't know if it was young kids or older people. You know, there was a time there didn't used to be baseball games on Sunday. Why was that? Because people honored, this is the day we serve the Lord. This is the day we meet together. This is the day we take our kids to church. Wednesday nights, when I used to go to Trinity in St. Charles, we had youth group on Wednesday nights along with prayer meeting. and the school started to have some sporting events. Pastor Williams went up to the school board and said, hey, we have youth activities on Wednesday night. They said, okay, we won't have sports on Wednesday night. Do you suppose that would happen today? That's not going to happen today. People today are putting sports and activities and hobbies and interests, sailing on the lake, whatever, before they consider serving the Lord. When people don't want to serve the Lord in any fashion at all, they don't want to take any time for service, it shows three different things. Number one, they do not understand who God is. God is not just some tinkerer up in heaven. If you're a Christian, God's your heavenly Father. He gave himself to save you. He's equipped you for service. He expects you to be busy. When you call somebody Lord, what does that mean? That means they're in charge, you're not. If I had a slave and I had paid for a slave, I know we don't do that today, but in the old days, if you had a slave and you wanted him to go to field A to hoe the corn, and instead he just decides, I don't want to go hoe that corn today. I want to go out and I want to play baseball. What would the master do? Would he just say, well, that's fine, it's your life? No. People used to buy people, and I know I'm glad they don't do it anymore. But that was a Lord. That's a Lord situation. Do you know that you belong to the Lord? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, we are to honor God with our body. So first off, those people who claim to be born again, and maybe they are, who do not want to serve in any fashion at all, don't know who God is. Number two, they don't understand why they're here. You see, most people, even Christians, believe I'm here to enjoy life. My friends, you're here to glorify God, whether you know it or not. This is all about Him and His glory. It's not all just about you. Now, the Lord says He's given us richly all things to enjoy, and He does expect us to enjoy this life, but He's got things He wants you to do. He prepared them in advance. Number three, they don't understand God's great purpose in this world. God's primary thing that He's doing in our time is He's building a kingdom. He wants to have many, many men and women, boys and girls in His kingdom, and He longs to use you to get that work done. Does He need you or me to do the work? He does not. He could change a heart in an instant by Himself if He wanted to. But He wants to use folks just like us to make the difference. So tonight I want to be talking not about people primarily who don't know the Lord and don't want to serve. I want to talk about those of us that do know the Lord and do want to serve Him in some way. I want to speak to those who understand why they're here and know what they're supposed to be doing while they're here, because so many people don't. Today, Christians who truly understand who God is, what God's up to, and what His purpose is for their lives are the ones that are making the difference. You are the salt and you are the light to this world. There are boys and girls all around this community right now that don't know the Lord. There are men and women all around this community that don't know the Lord. They may attend a church. I attended a church for 25 years and never even knew who the Lord was. And then Pastor Williams came and gave me the gospel. It makes a difference. So, for just a minute, I want to talk about those that don't know who the Lord is, don't know what they're supposed to be doing. I'm going to make this real brief, and then we're going to spend the rest of the time talking about those who do know the Lord, who do know His plan, and who want to get busy. So, number one, who is this God we speak of? Because many people do not know who God is. That's an amazing thing. You'd think they would. But if you went to public school today, I don't care which public school, you can take St. Charles, you can take Chesning, you can take Bran or Hemlock, are you going to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that He's your creator, that He's your sustainer, that He's the reason you're supposed to be living? It doesn't matter which public school you go to, you are not going to learn that today. Many people don't take their children to Sunday school, don't take their children to church, and so you don't get it at school, you don't get it at church. If you watch the television today, are you going to get it? Not unless you watch Christian TV. It's simply not in our society. If you read the newspaper today, I don't care if it's the New York Times or the Saginaw News or any other, are you going to get the gospel clear? It's not being reported. And so what has to happen is some of us have to say, I know who God is. I know God's plan for my life. I know what he wants me to do, and I'm going to be busy doing it, because if I don't do it and somebody else doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. And that's part of the problem with our nation today. It's not getting done. Christians are busy having fun. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I didn't put it in the notes, but if you go down to verse 14 of John 1:14, it says the Word became flesh. So the Word we're talking about, who was God, who was with God, who is the creator of everything that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people do not know Jesus Christ is God. They think he was just a man, a great prophet, a good teacher. But to think that he's the creator and he became a man and he died on the cross to pay for my sin, that changes everything. I remember when I first heard the gospel, I wondered, how can a man's blood take away my sin? But when you know that that man is God, that makes all the difference. And so that's why it's so important that you understand the gospel clearly yourself, so that you can explain it to others. Because I'm going to say 90% of the people in our nation have never had the gospel explained to them clearly. They just don't get it. Number two, we need to know what God's plan is. What is God doing today in our lifetime? You weren't born in the 1800s. You weren't born in the year 400. You were born in our generation. God has a work. And the work that he's doing, again, in our time, is calling people to know him, to love him, and to serve him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Go back to verse 3 just for a second, Dave. If he's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, then what blessing don't we have? When we put us all together, we've got all the spiritual blessings we need to do the work that God has called us to do. No one of us have all the spiritual blessing. But when you put a body together in a church, we have all the different blessings we need to do the work. Now, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will. And so don't tell me you don't know God's will for your life, because you have not, because what? You ask not. You don't ask him what his will is. Lord, what would he say if you were to honestly say to him, Lord, what would you have me do for your glory this week? I want to tell you, most people are afraid to ask that because they know he's going to put them to work. I don't want to know. Lord, no, I don't want to hear it. Folks, he wants you to ask, Lord, what can I do to glorify your son this week? I'll guarantee you it won't be silent. You'll hear him. He'll speak to you. He'll tell you exactly what he wants. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. And so what the Lord's will is that you get busy serving him in some capacity, whether that's in your family or in your church or in your job or whatever it might be, to glorify your God. So many people I know, even Christian people, do their jobs half-heartedly. They don't work as unto the Lord. We know the Bible says that whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. But then people go to work claiming to be Christians, and they do a terrible job. They do the very least they have to do to get paid. Folks, that's a disgrace to our God. The boss ought to say, I've got these 10 guys that are pretty good workers, but I've got these 5 Christians over here that they do twice as much as these guys. Why do they do it? Because they're working for God's glory. When we raise our children, we do it for God's glory. We're different than the people who just talk about being Christians, that don't care about their children, don't care much about their grandchildren, don't spend time in devotions at all, never sing the Christian songs to their kids or grandkids. Folks, we've got a golden opportunity. Your grandkids, believe it or not, love you. They love to sing with you. They love to rejoice with you. And you can do it all for God's glory. So knowing God and his plans makes a difference. Until a person really knows who God is and really believes with all of his heart or her heart that God will reward me for faithful service, you're never going to get to work. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe, number one, that he exists, and number two, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let me just ask you, the last 2 months of your life, have you been earnestly seeking after God? Because most people don't. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. Most people kind of dabble with the Lord. But to really want to know God, to really dig into his word, to really determine, Lord, I want to know your will, it's just not happening like it should. Our Lord wants us to believe with all of our hearts that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, that want to know his will, and then with all their heart, they want to do his will, not their own. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What he's saying is, he's praying that God will equip those people in that church for service, doing God's will from their heart, doing the work that's pleasing to God. But most people, even most Christians, I want to do what's most pleasing to me. I want to, on Sundays, I want to go fishing. I want to go golfing. I want to do this. I want to do that. The Lord says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We got to make a choice. Do I want to do God's will so I can serve him faithfully with what few years I have left, or do I want to do my own thing? Folks, the Bible says you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and with your spirit, which are God. You might ask, how has God prepared me for works of service? And I'm glad you asked that, even though you didn't. I want to show you three ways that God has prepared you for the unique works that he has for you, because the works that he's called you to are not the same that he's called me to. They're different. Each one of us have different things we're called to. Number one, God prepared you at your conception. When your mother and father came together and conceived you in the womb, the Bible says that God was working all those 9 months you were in your mother's womb, making you the unique individual that you are. Whether you know it or not, they say there's a million different ways that that sperm can unite with that egg to make different, with all the different chromosomes and all the different things. You could have had blonde hair instead of black hair. I could have had thick hair instead of no hair. Okay, all those things, color of your eyes, everything was determined by God. How smart you are, how intelligent, how your different skill abilities, all the things physical, God did that. And he did it all because he knew exactly the works that he had planned for you in advance. And so he gave you everything you need physically at your birth to serve him faithfully. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, it explains that. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb. Who formed you in the womb? God, every single person. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. When did that all happen? Before Jeremiah was ever born. Folks, the same is true for you and I. God called you. God prepared you physically for what he wants you to do. 1 Corinthians 4:7. Who makes you different from anyone else? You're not different because of your self-made man or self-made woman. God made you. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Folks, everything you have physically is a gift from God. It's not something you worked up. It's something that God did in advance. Number two, at the very moment of your conversion, the day you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, he gave you spiritual gifts. If you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, and these are talking about spiritual giftedness now. You get some giftedness, your natural birth. Now when you're born again, you get other giftedness. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Folks, I can't tell you how difficult it is sometimes when I go into hospitals or nursing homes and I see a gal there that's either an aide or a nurse, and it's so obvious she has no concern for those people at all. This is just a paycheck. I don't care what you need. I don't care what you want. I'm here for the pay. If you don't have the gift to be a nurse, guess what? Don't be a nurse. Do something else. When God gifts us, we love what we do. If you don't have a passion about your work, find different work. Folks, it's so important. So many people go to work every day and they hate their work. You ought to be thankful to the Lord that you can work. We ought to rejoice that God has given us those abilities. So at our salvation, the Lord gives us physical gifts. At our conversion, he gives us spiritual gifts. And then God is also the one that has equipped you for service by all the different things he's allowed into your life. There are no two lives exactly the same here. I don't care if you're brother or sister. Your lives are different. I don't care if you're husband and wife. Your lives are still different. We have some things in common, but there are other things we don't have in common. Our Lord wants us to know that God has given you all the experiences of your life for you to learn from so that you can better serve. When I remember we had a man here that was in the drugs. This is years ago. And he got out of the drugs, became a Christian, and he wanted to serve. He says, "Where do you think I ought to serve?" I said, "Brother, you've had all this experience with drugs. You know exactly what it does. If you can get a ministry at one of these local churches leading a drug rehabilitation, you might be great at that." And guess what? He was. Nobody knows better how to help an alcoholic than a former alcoholic. Nobody knows better how to give good advice about cancer than somebody that's gone through cancer. Folks, realize that God allows you to go through trouble so that you can help those that are coming into the same trouble you went through. Let me find my spot here. This is 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you've been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." So you don't lack the gifts, at least you don't lack the gifts God wants to use you for. There are gifts that I don't have. That means God doesn't plan for me to work in that area. It doesn't mean I'm deficient. It just means God wants me to use what he's given me for his glory. Somebody else needs to use that thing that I didn't get for God's glory. That's what he talks about, the whole body, each part of the body serving every other part of the body. It benefits everyone. And we all grow together. So important. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." You and I, he says, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." We talked this morning, the fool says in his heart there is no God. A foolish Christian is a Christian who doesn't want to know God's will for their lives. You can throw away your whole life and never know the power of God in your life. But when you determine you're going to glorify God, it's not in our notes, but it's 2 Chronicles 16:9, says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is right towards him. If you can get your heart right towards God, "Lord, what I want to do with whatever years I have left is serve you and glorify you," God's going to go to work on your behalf. He's going to show himself strong through you. So we want to redeem the time. I figure right now I've got 11 to 20 years to go. That's about where I think I'm at. So I don't want to throw it away. I could retire right now. Got enough finances, I could retire and I could go to Florida and I could sit on the beach every day for the rest of my life. We'd be okay. But what good is that? Now, we do try to get off on vacation. It's nice to get away once in a while. But to just determine, I've got enough, now I could just do nothing and that's what I'm going to do, you're throwing away 20 to 30 years of your life that you could be active for God's glory. Doesn't have to be here. You can serve the Lord literally anywhere. We've got a couple that goes down to Florida every winter, and when they're down there, they're doing ministry in nursing homes serving the Lord. Anything wrong with that? Not in the whole world. It's a wonderful thing. They're able to get their vacation and serve at the same time. You are going to have some trouble in this life. What I want to encourage you is when the trouble comes, don't waste it. I want to use Joseph as an example of this. In Genesis 50, verse 14, it talks about this. If you recall, Joseph was his father Jacob's favorite son. His brothers from other mothers hated him, and they sold him as a slave down to Egypt. You would think Joseph, as a young man, probably 15 or 16 at the time, would get bitter in his heart and saying, if that's the way God's going to serve, I'm all done with him. But he didn't. He was a faithful servant, and his master Potiphar put him in charge of his whole house. Everything went along really well. Joseph was serving his master, doing well in the house, but then Potiphar's wife took a shine to him. She wanted him to come to bed with her. And Joseph said, I can't sin against God that way. It wouldn't be right. So the woman claimed that Joseph tried to rape her. He wound up in prison. It's bad enough to be a slave, but now I'm going down even further. Now I'm a slave that's a prisoner. I'm going to get so upset, I'm not going to do anything. But Joseph didn't do that. Joseph became the best jail hand. He helped in that jail. He was the administrator of that jail. And he was faithful. You see, faithfulness, even when life seems to be going against you, God honors that. God took Joseph in one day from being a slave prisoner to being in charge of all Egypt in one day. It says in Genesis 50, verse 14, after burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When the message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and your children. He reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Folks, God will do the same thing for you if you'll simply stay faithful through the trials of life. Those trials come, the Bible tells us, so that we can learn perseverance. Perseverance is the ability to keep going faithfully even through trials. You are going to have some trials. We're not done with them yet. But if you can start to learn from those things, your life is going to make a difference. In Philippians 2:13, it's God who works in you to will and to act in accord to fulfill his good purpose. It isn't just Joseph God is working in. It isn't just your pastor or your deacon. He's working in every single Christian's life so that we can fulfill his good purpose for our life. You know, we talk about missionaries getting a call. And they do, or they shouldn't be a missionary. But you've got a call on your life. Our Lord has made every one of us priests. He says we are part of a royal priesthood. Now, we don't have priests in the church, but you are a royal priest. A priest represents God to man and man to God. You are a prayer warrior, or you should be. If you've got children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you've got a prayer ministry. If you've got friends and neighbors, you've got a prayer ministry. I mentioned this morning in church, I was going over to see Rose and Ed. Went over and found out that Rose says she has received Christ as her Savior now. She said the last 2 months, she's really been thinking about it. So we praise the Lord. We get a chance to talk to him. We get a chance to encourage him. I don't think her daughter ever heard her mother say something like that before. And so she was extremely excited to hear it. It's wonderful, good news. All those possibilities are there. In Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags of gold, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. Master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they'll have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. One of the signs that you are a true servant of Christ, that your prayer for salvation wasn't just a prayer, it was from the heart, is that you're busy serving your Lord. You don't believe that he's a hard man, sowing where he hasn't, or reaping where he hasn't sown. Who gave that man that bag of gold? That's the sowing. God is not hard. He gives you your gifts. He gives you your abilities at birth. He gives you your abilities after salvation. He trains you for service, but then he expects you to be busy serving, not just doing nothing. He wants to encourage you to keep going forward. So I just want to encourage you, if you're ever going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, if you're ever going to have the Lord multiply your giftedness and multiply your service like Joseph did, you're going to have to stay faithful even when it doesn't feel right. Even when life gets hard, you've got to keep at God's work, because that's what it's about. It's about his glory, not ours. Any questions, thoughts, comments? All right, we're going to sing.